Now, friends, as we come to 2 Peter, the first chapter, at verse 14, he says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me." Now, when we began this epistle, I said that this is the swan song of Simon Peter. And he's actually, as it were, on his deathbed. And he says, "As long as I'm in this tabernacle," and we'll look at that in just a moment, but Scripture attaches some importance to the deathbed statements. You see, on his deathbed, a man will be apt to say something of importance, even if he has not ever said anything before. And if he's been a liar all of his life, the chances are on his deathbed, he's apt to tell the truth. Well, at least the Word of God puts a great emphasis upon it. And you go back into the Old Testament, and I'll just lift out a few to illustrate this. Take Jacob, for instance. In the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, it's a rather sad and yet very dramatic chapter. He calls his 12 sons to stand around his deathbed, and he makes a prophecy concerning each one of those boys that's been literally fulfilled. And when Moses knew that he would not enter the promised land, and he had looked from Mount Nebo into that land, and he was now on his deathbed, he called the 12 tribes, the leaders, and again he spoke to the 12 tribes, and that's a very important discourse he gave at that time. And Joshua, when he was old and ready to depart this life, he could say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." That had been his testimony. And then David, you remember, called Solomon in, and David never really had too much confidence in Solomon. I don't think Solomon was David's choice. Absalom would have been, but Absalom was slain. And he called Solomon in, and he says, "I go the way of all the earth." What a picture of death. And I don't know who you are, where you are right now, but I can tell you the road that you're on, the way you're traveling. You're going the way of all the earth, and that's to the cemetery. That doesn't sound very good. Somebody says the Lord may come. If he doesn't come, I still say that you're on that route. Now, he said to Solomon, "Show thyself a man." I don't think that David had too much confidence in Solomon, but that's his deathbed statement to him. And then even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into Jerusalem for that last Passover, and he made it very clear to his own that night in the upper room discourse, that would be his last time with them while he was here in the flesh before he died, rose again in a glorified body. And he said, "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you." And then we have seen already Paul in 2 Timothy, that's his deathbed epitaph. And there you have his swan song. He says, "I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure's come. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing." Now, Simon Peter says here, and you'll notice, he says, "Knowing that shortly," and the word shortly means quickly. It means that he knew he had come to the end of his life, and he'd not live much longer. He was crucified with his head down. Now, some have interpreted that means upside down. I really don't think it means that at all. I think that our Lord apparently held his head up, and as he looked into the heavens, Simon Peter said he didn't feel worthy. That is tradition. And every now and then I make a statement like that, people want to know my authority for it. And may I say to you that tradition has handed down to us many things. And for instance, some time ago we mentioned The great high priest, when he went in, had a chain around his leg. If anything he did wrong, he could be pulled out of there, because you're not to go into the Holy of Holies. Well, somebody said, where'd you get that? That's tradition, and it is in Jewish writings. And that is the basis for some of the statements I make, and I try to make it clear at the time where they come from, but apparently I don't always do that in attempting to move along. Now, what we have here is that he is going to put off, as he says here, put off this, my tabernacle. Now, the word in the Greek is skene. It's translated and means literally tent. You see, the body that you and I live in down here is likened to a tent. Peter used that expression, and Paul did too. Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tent, our tabernacle, were dissolved. Now, he goes on to talk about this tent that we live in. Paul tells us how flimsy it is. And if you don't believe it's flimsy, you step out here on one of the freeways that's across this country today, and my friend, you're going to fold your little tent and silently slip away. These are very frail little bodies we live in, and they're nothing in the world but a tent. You see, it is this little body that you and I are in as believers that's put to sleep. As the scripture says, sleep in the dust of the earth. And when God created Adam, he took his body out of the dirt. He is created out of the earth. And there are about 15 or 16 elements in your body and mine. You find them in the average soil today. And that's the body. The body is put to sleep in the dust of the earth. You couldn't put the soul to sleep there to save your life. And to begin with, the word for sleep means to lie down. Actually, kemi, the word in classical Greek, meant to go to bed. And I told a man who believes in soul sleep, I said, well, it means to go to bed. Would you tell me which end of the soul you stick under the cover and the one that you put on the pillow? And he hadn't been able to enlighten me as to that yet. You see, this body that we have, it's just like a garment that we wear, like a little tent. And it's very feeble. And one of these days, we're going to put it aside. And Paul says, for in this we groan. And he says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan. We groan in these bodies, Paul says. And I'm going to do all the groaning that I think is appropriate for the way I feel. Now, Paul also says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You see, that's the way that Peter and Paul both speak of death. You see, he will come back to this again in what he's going to say to us in just a few moments. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And this little tent we live in is put down in a grave and it goes to sleep. The body does, but the soul never dies, and the soul's never raised from the dead because it never dies. And the word for resurrection refers to the body. That's anastasis, and it means to stand up, therefore. Now, there is a way of looking at the rest of Peter that may be a little difficult for you to understand, but I do want to mention it. We have two forces that are in the world today. One is called centrifugal force. That's the force that impels outward from a center. You throw a ball or something on a string around you, and it tries to get loose from you. Then there's another force called centripetal force, and that pulls inward. Well, now he's going to talk to us here about the attitude toward the Word of God and the approaching apostasy that was coming in his day, and in our day it has arrived. It was just a little cloud the size of a man's hand in Peter's day and Paul's day. But now in our day, the storm is already broken. Now the attitude is toward the Word of God. Now there are two facets of this subject that he presents. The attitude toward the Word of God in the days of apostasy. And these are conflicting forces at work. in relationship to the Word. There is that centrifugal force, the force that impels outward from the world that you and I live in today. Then there is that centripetal force that pulls us into the world and away from the Word of God. Now we're going to look at this, that is the centrifugal force. The Word of God is the only thing, friends, that can pull us away from the world. The Word of God pulls us away from the world today. Now, I read a letter of an alcoholic, and he began to listen to the program and the Word of God. I had nothing to do with it. The Word of God pulled him away from the bottle, pulled him away from the world, and pulled him toward the Word of God. Now, that's what he's going to talk about here, because the question naturally arises. He has said we ought to make our calling and election more sure. And he says here, I want you to know that we have an authority. Somebody's going to raise the question, especially in these days, how do you know it's the Word of God?